Good morning again. Thank you for welcoming me today. It's a pleasure to be here. The last time I was in Ames was when my niece graduated from vet school, which was a very, very happy day, so I have warm feelings about this town. As Pastor Eileen has mentioned, I'm a student at Chicago Theological Seminary, Jesus School, and I'd like to start by thanking you for your financial and prayerful support of the school. I personally am a beneficiary of that support. Based on my grades, I was granted a merit scholarship, which is helping make this phase of my life more manageable. So I thank you. Pastor Eileen asked that I share some of my personal journey with you to let you know how it is that I came to be at CTS. I'll do that first, and then I'll touch briefly on the scripture reading that Neil just shared with us. If you were to consider the landscape of theological education a generation or more ago, you would say, or you would be able to identify, that at that time, I would not be your typical student. For one, let's just say, kindly, that I am solidly middle-aged. In years past, the path would be college, and then divinity school. I, on the other hand, have been making a transition in my life after more than 25 years in the corporate world. A second way that I am not the typical student of yore is that I am not intending to become either a pastor or a chaplain. Instead, I plan to work somewhere in the nonprofit world. My situation at school, though, is not all that unique. At CTS, the average age of the student is 41 years, and only 50% of students at CTS are intending to go into a typical pastor or chaplaincy type role. CTS, then, provides a key learning environment for a variety of people who want to consider what it is that they might be able to do to bring more justice and love into the world. So again, thank you for your support. A bit about my history and how it is that I was led to pursue theological studies. I grew up in Ohio and completed my undergrad at The Ohio State University. Now I know this is cyclone country here, but for any of you here who are fans of the Hawkeyes, I hope you'll forgive me for being a Buckeye. After working a couple of years in commercial banking after undergrad, I got my MBA at Northwestern University, and then I entered the corporate sector. For the most part, I've enjoyed my work in that field. Yet starting in my late 30s, I began to get an itch. I kept thinking to myself that I did not want to get to the end of my working life and look back, coming to the realization that I never really pursued work that was closer to my heart. Now, let me say that this is my personal story. There's nothing wrong with someone making a career in the corporate world or any other particular field for that matter. There is no one correct answer to the Socratic question, how ought I to live? But for each of us to ask that question prayerfully, I think, is of key importance. How ought I to live? Mary Oliver closes her poem, The Summer Day, with the following lines. Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? I love this poem. At some level, it has haunted me, in a good way. It has served as a reminder that my time here on this earth is limited, and that I cannot put off forever what I know in my heart I need to do. For me, at least in the professional realm, I had to get to the point where the itch that had started in my late 30s was strong enough to compel a change, and where my inner courage was strong enough to balance the fears that I had about heading into the unknown. But my decision to pursue theological studies was not just about career or work. It was and is a part of my spiritual journey. In deciding to go to CTS, I knew that I wanted to take time, to devote time, to getting closer to God, or to the universal spirit, or to whatever else it is that you might call that larger presence. And I would say that God was active in my life in keeping that itch that had started in my late 30s alive, and in growing that itch. About 18 months ago, I quit my job and started attending CTS on a full-time basis. I picked CTS based on its strong reputation and its progressive theological stance. I'm pursuing a Master of Arts degree, which is a 2-year program, as opposed to the 3-year program that people who want to get directly into ministry, into pastorship do, which is a Master of Divinity degree. My time at CTS has been a period of personal, intellectual, and spiritual growth, an important part of my broader life journey. I feel very fortunate to be able to devote time to contemplating matters of God, of humanity, and of the created world. I will graduate from CTS in May, God willing. Although I don't know yet what sort of specific work I will do, I hope to be doing something that will utilize my business skills to help advance issues that are of particular concern to me, such as helping people contemplate and act upon issues of compassion in their lives and in the world, of providing a sense of hope to those who are in despair, or by helping preserve God's creation for the benefit of humankind and all else that lives. I pray that the Spirit will help guide me to a role that uses my talents and taps into my heartfelt passions. I am inspired by the words of Frederick Buechner. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Where am I needed in the world? And what will bring me joy? This is a question that any of us can ask at any point in our lives. I'm happy with the path that I'm following, but in no way do I want you to think that I believe that I have it figured out. I am moving in the direction that feels right for me, but I stumble and I fall short. I have my hopes and I have my fears, and that's where I look to God to continue to help me on the journey. I'm grateful to CTS for providing me a place to deepen my understanding of God and how God works in our lives and in the world, and how we are called to be in the world. Thank you again for your support of the school and of my efforts. Now I'd like to turn briefly to today's gospel reading, which centers on a parable that tells of a landowner who creates a vineyard and then leases it to a number of tenants. After the annual harvest, the owner sends a series of servants to collect the rent, but the tenants either beat or kill each one of them. Finally, the owner sends his own beloved son, and the tenants kill him too, believing that with him out of the way, they will inherit the vineyard. The setting for Jesus' telling of this parable is important for our understanding. He tells it to a group of religious authorities in Jerusalem in the days following Palm Sunday. In telling the story, Jesus knows that his arrest and crucifixion approach. A concluding line from the gospel reading, quote, "When they realized that he had told this parable against them," end quote, helps make clear who the different characters are in the story. The man who planted the vineyard is God. The tenants of the vineyard are the religious authorities of Jesus' day. The slaves, or servants, represent various prophets sent by God. And finally, the beloved son is Jesus. We know that Jesus spoke often against the religious authorities. And in reading this parable, we can comfortably say that we would not have behaved as the tenant farmers did. or as the religious authorities did. We would not beat or kill servants. We would certainly not kill the beloved Son or Jesus. But what if we were to think of the vineyard as the created world in which we live, a place provided to us by God? Do we appreciate the bounty of the harvest, the bounty of our lives, and recognize that it is not all of our own doing? Can we consider how it is that we are to share the bounty of the harvest, the bounty that is ultimately from God? The tenant farmers wanted to keep the entire harvest to themselves and acted as though they had planted the vineyard. As humans, we each have wonderful ways to create things in this world. But to believe that everything that we create or everything we accomplish is solely due to our own efforts is not to recognize the gifts that we've been given, gifts that have come either from God or from our families, our friends, our teachers, our communities. God, the planter of the vineyard, has given us great gifts, including life itself and the teachings of Jesus. The tenant farmers killed the beloved Son. We would never do that. But we do sometimes turn our backs on Jesus' teachings. Jesus encourages us to share the bounty of the harvest with others, particularly the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized. Another item. This parable also speaks to the notion of human choice, of free will. The landowner left the vineyard in the hands of the tenants to do with as they chose. God likewise gives us freedom to run our lives as we choose. So we return to the Socratic question for each of us to ponder. How is it that I ought to live? God, may we be grateful for the gifts you have provided. May we be willing to share those gifts. And may we each be attentive to your presence in our lives as you continually call us towards better ways of being in the world. Amen.